So as human beings, we have a deep need within us for spiritual experience. We have a deep need in us to feel and to sense and to know that divine presence. And we have a need to be aware of the fact that that divine presence is in our lives. We also, as human beings, have a deep need to experience our own spirit, to experience our own divine nature, and to experience our connection with the whole, our connection with life itself. We have this hunger and this longing and this yearning for that connection and that communion and that experience. And so religions throughout history have been born out of that yearning and out of that hunger, out of that longing of the soul to commune with that from which it comes. Out of the religions have been born out of that longing to sense and know and to feel that divine presence. And so if you look at the mystical aspects of any of the world's religions, Judaism, the mystical aspect is Kabbalism, and Islam, the mystical aspect is Sufism, or mystical Christianity, they all speak of the same fact. They all speak of the fact that that presence is everywhere present, that it is right in the midst of where we are, that it is always right where we are. In the Gospel of Thomas, it says, "Split a piece of wood, and I am there. Lift a stone, and you will find me there also." In Psalm 139:7, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Those are speaking to that omnipresence, that everywhere presentness of the divine. And that is one of the things that I love the most about this philosophy at Centers for Spiritual Living, that we speak of and teach of that omnipresence of spirit, that there is only one power and one presence and one life and one beingness, and that it is everywhere present in and through everything. It is in and through, it pervades everything. And we are also what is called a panentheistic philosophy, which means not just does that presence, is it everywhere present and permeates everything, but it actually expresses as everything. That it permeates everything, but it is the essence and the fabric of everything that we see in this material world, because that one is expressing as everything that exists. And so both science of mind and Hinduism both say there is one all-pervading, indestructible presence in the universe, which is everywhere present. In Hinduism, they call it Brahman. Hinduism says Brahman is the one universal being. He exists in all, and all beings exist in him. There is nothing other than Brahman and nothing outside of him. He is imperishable, unknowable, immortal, infinite, without beginning or end. Hinduism says Brahman is Atman. Spirit is the individual spirit. And Atman is Brahman, and Brahman is Atman. That source, the one, consciousness itself, is the very fabric and essence of our spirit. It's the essence of who we are, our true self. And I love the creation story of Hinduism says, Brahman exhaled, and in that exhalation became all that is. I love that story. And so in the science of mind, then, when we say that we are individuations of the infinite, that's exactly what we're talking about. When we say that our life is the life of the divine, that's exactly what we're saying. And so what that means then is that that one indestructible presence expresses in you and through you and as you. That it expresses in your life and through your life and as your life. It's like a prism. You think about a prism, the light shines through the prism and out comes this rainbow of colors. That's the divine expressing as every single thing in the world. And just like that prism, you have not been created and then left afloat all on your own in the world. That light continuously streams into you and through you. You are continuously sourced, just like those colors of the prism are continually sourced by that original light. So that one presence, we are one with it. We are a part of it. We are aspects of it and filled with it. That very life force of that divine presence is the thing that sustains us, that beats our hearts and breathes our lungs, and that is the life force within us. That one intelligence imbues our thinking and acts as intuition and as inner knowing and as guidance. That energy expresses within our bodies and expresses as health. It animates our bodies and makes them alive. And good fills our lives. And so the title of my talk today is Behold the Light. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Beholding that presence in us and through us and around us and as us. I'm talking about the fact that there is only one presence and one power. That it is in and through everything. I'm talking about that it is who and what we are at our core. It is the essence and fabric of who we are. But there's one more piece to it. It's in our knowing that we actually align ourselves with it and open ourselves so that it may flow into us and into our lives in a greater and a fuller way. That happens as we know it. As we know it, we avail ourselves to it. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, intuitively, we sense that every man in his native state is some part or manifestation of this eternal principle, and that the entire problem of limitation, evil, and suffering and uncertainty is not God-ordained, but it is the result of ignorance. It has been written that the truth shall make us free, provided that we know the truth. So it's as we know that presence expresses in us and in our lives and through our lives, that we avail ourselves to the peace or the love or the wholeness or the good or the opulence or whatever that divine presence is expressing as that prism of light. And so the problem then is not that infinite presence is not in us. The problem is not that infinite presence is not at the center of every single moment in our lives. The problem is that we think we are separate. The problem is that we think that our life is somehow something other than that life of the divine presence expressing itself. And so one of the things that determines how we experience that presence is by how we define it and what we name it. And so there's a story that speaks so clearly to this, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, five blind men came upon an elephant. What is this? Asked the first one, who had run headlong into its side. It's an elephant, said the elephant's keeper, who was sitting on a stool cleaning the elephant's harness. Wow, so this is an elephant. I've always wondered what elephants are like, said the man, as he's running his hands on the side as far up and down as he could. And he said, why? It's just like a wall, a large, warm wall. What do you mean a wall? Said the second man, wrapping his arms around the elephant's leg. This is nothing like a wall. You can't reach around a wall. This is more like a pillar. That's it. An elephant is exactly like a pillar. A pillar? Strange kind of pillar, said the third man, stroking the elephant's trunk. It is too thin for one thing and too flexible for another. If you think this is a pillar, I don't want to see your house. This is more like a snake. See, it's wrapping itself around my arm. An elephant is just like a snake. Snakes don't have hair, said the fourth man in disgust, pulling at the elephant's tail. You are closer than the others, but I'm surprised that you missed the hair. This isn't a snake. It's a rope. Elephants are exactly like ropes. I don't know what you guys are on, the fifth man cried, waving the elephant's ear back and forth. It's as large as a wall, that's right, but it's as thin as a leaf and no more flexible than any piece of cloth this size should be. I don't know what's wrong with all of you, but no one is a complete idiot that isn't a complete idiot could mistake an elephant for anything else but a sail. And the elephant stepped aside, and the men tramped on down the road, arguing more loudly and violently as they went, each sure that he alone was right and that all the others were wrong. How we define that one infinite presence determines how we see it. It determines when we see it. It determines our ability to see it by how we define it, what we name it, what we call it. And so we started a foundations class this week, and one of the exercises that we did was coming up with names for God. Names that we've heard, names that we use, names that we like. And so some of those names that we came up with were universal intelligence, infinite one, spirit, one power, life force, life, love, the alpha and omega, the beginning and the end, the I am. Those names, each one of those names creates a different vibration in us and a different feeling tone within us. And those names that we use, whatever the names are that we use for that one, also often carry with them old messages, old ideas from our childhood and subconscious beliefs. And some of those beliefs support us in living this fabulous, thriving, expansive life. And some of those ideas do not support us in living that expansive life, because some of those keep us feeling separate and apart and distinct. The words that we use create how we are able to see it and where we see it and how we see it in the world. It's kind of like that password game. Do you remember that password game, and it had like a little folder that had the red clear plastic, and you'd slide the words in, and the paper had blue and red words on it, but as soon as you slid it into that little envelope, you could no longer see the red words? It's just like that. The name creates the filter which creates what we are able to see and how we see that presence in the world. And so if I were to use only the title for that presence, if I were to call it the Creator, that means I would probably not see it as the love that connects each and every single one of us to each other. If I called it the Creator, I would not probably see it as the very essence of each and every person's spirit. If I were to call it the Great Mother or Father Sky or the Father in Heaven, the chances are then I would not see it as that intelligence that is coursing through my body, that is expressing itself as perfect health. If I were to call it the good, I could then see good all around me, and all the good that I saw, I would then know is that presence expressing itself. If I were to call it life, I would see that it is everywhere present, in everything. If I were to call it the I am, I would be able to see it as my very beingness, as the very essence of who I am as a spiritual being. If I named it infinite potential, I would really then see that there are no limits in anything. There are so many names to use for that one. I would just call it that. There are so many names for that. And I encourage you to find and to use names and words that support you in living a rich life, that support you in thriving, that support you in living the life and all that you've come here to be and come here to express. And God is absolutely beyond words and beyond ideas and beyond names and beyond descriptions. We cannot adequately describe that. We can't encompass it in words. And I know that every one of us in this room has experiences of that. We all have experiences of that. I know I have not had children myself, but when I see on the TV a baby being born, it is so amazing and overwhelming that I get choked up. And it is me seeing the magnificence, the miraculous of this universe coming out as something new. And it's so amazing. How could I not see the divine presence in that? I know that there have been so many times in my life when I have been out in nature. One time when I was in the sequoias and came around, did this hike up these stone steps, like 100 steps up, and you come around the corner of this huge boulder, and here is the expanse, it's the middle of July, of these snow-covered mountains that is the Continental Divide. And I burst into tears. The beauty is so overwhelming. And when I see that beauty, there's something in me that recognizes it in here. It's like, ah, I am that. That is what this universe is, that beauty. The connection that I feel with and the love that I feel for people that I don't even know is that divine presence in me. And so I have a question for you. How do you see or know or experience that in this world? Where in your life do you experience that? Where you see it, or you feel it, or you just sense it, or you just know it? Where and how does that show up? Do you have one? Tell the person that's sitting next to you how you experience that. You know, so each and every one of us experiences that in different ways, and we each experience it in a myriad of ways. And when we do experience that, something in us is stirred. Something touches that, touches our spirit. There's something in us when we experience that that knows we're at home. Joel Goldsmith, who was a Christian Science mystic, says, there is only one way to overcome a sense of separation from God, and that is to acknowledge the activity and the presence of God where you are. You can see it everywhere if you look for it. And so my invitation to you this week is to name that presence in ways that enable you to see it wherever you go. To name that, ways that enable you to feel that presence within your own being. Name that, ways that allow you to sense it in everything that you do. Life, love, creativity, creative intelligence, life force, good, oneness. try them on. Try a bunch of different names on and see what happens inside of you and see what happens in your experience as you try on different names. How is your day different? How are your interactions with people different? How do you see the world differently? Try them on. Try a bunch of them. And let go of the old ones that don't really serve you. And as a result, you'll be living with a greater awareness of that one that is everywhere present. You will have a greater felt sense of that one being right where you are all the time. And you will be beholding the light. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of recognition and this path of bringing that light forward in such a magnificent way. Blessings to all of you. So I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention from just this material realm and recognize that there is so much more, that there is this invisible realm that is the very energy, the very essence, the very light of that infinite one, that it is from here that this entire world has sprung forth, and it is this one that, which is beyond names, which is beyond description. It is that infinite one that is expressing itself everywhere, that is expressing itself in and through and around and as everything in this universe. That means that the infinity of all that one is present at the point of my finger, at the tip of my breathing, that infinite one in its entirety is always right where we are. And I recognize that its nature is to express, and its nature is to unfold, and its nature is to simply be that which it is. And so it is as I recognize and know that, then I know that there are no limitations. I know that there are no obstructions. I know that there are no delays, for everything is available right here and right now. All of the love and all of the peace and all of the wisdom, all of the knowing, the guidance, all of the peace. Every answer, every solution, every idea that we could ever possibly need is already here. And so today we are open and we listen and we look for it and we see it and we avail ourselves to it. What a blessing it is to be downloading that presence into this world in such a miraculous way. And so I do know right now that good is unfolding in each and every single one of our lives, that love and peace and bounty, opulence are unfolding in each one of our lives. That before the need was spoken, the solution and the answer and the need is already met. And today we step into that light, one with that light. And I say, thank you, God, for all of this. And I speak this word knowing that not only is this true for us, but this is the truth about every single person in this world, that there is no solution that is not already available. And so solutions are unfolding in the minds and the hearts of every person in this world for ways that make this planet sustainable and make this planet a planet of the one human family and that make this planet cared for and that allow it to thrive. That is unfolding right now. And it is for all of this that I'm grateful. And so I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe that we call law, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now, simply because we have stated it, simply because we have accepted it as so. And so I release this word, and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.